Good morning. If you take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Acts. Book of Acts chapter 9. And when you find your place there, I'll begin reading in Acts chapter 9 verse 36. Acts chapter 9 verse 36, it says, "Now there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and alms deeds which she did. And it came to pass in those days that she was sick and died, whom when they had washed, they laid her in an upper chamber. And forasmuch as Lydda was nigh to Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent unto him two men, desiring him that he would not delay to come to them. Then Peter arose and went with them. When he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber. And all the widows stood by him weeping, and showing the coats and garments which Dorcas made while she was with them. But Peter put them all forth, and kneeled down and prayed, and turning him to the body, said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. And he gave her his hand and lifted her up. And when he had called the saints and widows, presented her alive. And it was known throughout all Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. And it came to pass that he tarried many days in Joppa with one Simon, a tanner." Let's pray. Dear Lord, once again we come before you and we thank you for the day you've given us today, the time of worship we have here, and I pray that our hearts would be ready and receptive. Lord, I just want to remember the requests that have been mentioned. Lord, there's a lot of heavy hearts right now, and I pray that you would be with each one. Lord, we know that you can work in the big things and the small things, and I pray that you would do that. Lord, I pray that you would help us this morning in the lesson, help us to learn, and most of all, help us just to be drawn closer to you. And we pray all this in Jesus' name, amen. It's really easy for us to glamorize the heroic and the great people in our lives, and we look over the little people, the people that it's easy to skip over, the people that don't seem to play as vital role in our world. We like to idolize the superstars and the great people, but then we overlook the people around us when, if it wasn't for them, our lives would be so much different. Well, the story, Hero of Harlem, was written in 1865. And it tells the story of a little Dutch boy, a fisherman's son, in the city of Harlem. Now, the city of Harlem was built on dikes, long raised walls to keep the sea out. And these dikes kept the city from flooding. And so, one day, this little boy was walking home, and he notices on one of these dikes that there's a hole. It's a tiny hole. There's just a tiny trickle of water coming out. But he knows, as everybody else knows, that if that hole stays all night, there's going to be a flood because the water will wash away at that hole, make it bigger and bigger, till the wall's broken down and the city floods and many people die. He had no one with him. There was nobody he could send to go for help. So immediately, without hesitation, he went up, climbed the dike to the hole, put his finger in, and held it there. There was nobody. He looked around for people to call to, but there was no one to send the warning. And so he stayed there and continued to stay there. Eventually, the icy wind and the cold water made his finger numb, then his arm, finally his whole body. But he couldn't leave. A storm came, but he couldn't leave. And he stayed there, just a little boy doing what he could. And the next morning, a deacon at the church found him unconscious, still with his finger plugging that hole, holding the dike back. He was taken home to recover, and then he was praised by the town because they all knew they owed their lives to him. If he hadn't been the one, the little boy, just to stick his finger in that dike to keep that hole from enlarging, all their lives would have been erased. They would have been killed. Now, it's easy to look at a story and see, well, he did something great, but he was just a little boy. He had an opportunity, and he did what he could. Well, this morning we're going to look at a person who may not be looked at as great. She only finds space in a few chapters of Scripture, in a few verses of Scripture, just a very small space. But she found her place in God's will, and she did what she could. And this story just illustrates how much little things really do mean, how much little people really mean. Song of Solomon 2 says, "It's the little foxes that spoil the vine. It's the little things that make a big difference." And this woman, she did what she could to serve others. Her name was Dorcas. And she lived in the city of Joppa. The principle for this morning is just to know that God watches over his servants who do the little things for him. God watches over those who are faithful to him. And if you're willing to do those things, to use the unique opportunities and privileges God's given you, then the Lord will use you and the Lord will watch out for you. So she lives in the city of Joppa. It's located on the eastern coast of the Mediterranean Sea. This was a port city, one of the oldest cities in the world, in fact. It's known a few places in Scripture. First of all, Solomon used this port in shipping supplies to build his temple. He used this port to ship trees and other things from Lebanon. Now this port, if you remember later in the prophets, Jonah went to this port of Joppa to get on a ship bound for Tarshish to go away from God's will for him in Nineveh. And so two pretty significant events there, but this time, this woman, it's not in regard to a famous prophet with a message of destruction. It's not in regard to building the biggest and, well, the most beautiful building in the entire world. This mention of the city is just about a woman named Dorcas or Tabitha, just a humble servant. We know from ancient history that her name means gazelle. That's how it's translated. Interesting name. It's also translated gracious. And while she did live up to her name, at least the gracious part, and she was a very kind and considerate person, she cared for the people around her. Now, we see most likely she was a wealthy woman. She made her living probably selling clothes and making clothes. But also, she didn't use this as only private gain for herself. She made clothes for the widows. So she's probably wealthy. She has money to buy fabric and resources to produce clothes. And this is her ministry in the church. And it's very important because these widows, as if you remember in Ruth, when we learned about that, they had basically no means of support in this time. They had very little livelihood, no chance really of making a living. And so even things like clothes, nice clothes that we take for granted, those were not cheap, and often they couldn't afford them. And many Christians in this day were just slaves. I've read some places that say up to 90% of the people in the Roman Empire were slaves. And so they only had rags. They did not have nice clothes. And so this lady, this woman, Dorcas, possibly a widow, takes upon herself to care for others. Her husband's not mentioned, so it's possible she's a widow as well. And she uses this as her ministry in the church. Her love for the Lord is expressed by her acts of charity. She was kind. She did what she could to these other people. She provided clothes, no doubt for the widows, of course, but also for the other saints, for the orphans, those who had found Christ and needed something. And so this woman is a servant in the church, and likely she's a widow. She can empathize with them, and she does her best to do just anything she can. The Bible says she is full of good works in verse 36. So full of good works that bitterness and anything else didn't find a place in her because she was so full of love and good works for other people. And so this is this woman, Dorcas. She's described as a charitable person, a person who's full of good works and alms deeds. She's also characterized as a disciple of Jesus Christ. And that defines her love and her care for others. Because she loved the Lord, she used that love and showed it to other people. She made them clothes. She was kind to them. But as we read in this passage, that she died. Verse 37, in those days Dorcas died. She contracted some unnamed disease, we don't know, and she died. And so, no doubt, the church here at Joppa is just heartbroken by this. She was such a vital person, maybe not somebody everybody looked up to, but somebody who was such a servant, as soon as they were gone, there was a huge hole left. And so, this woman, Dorcas, she leaves a mark on these people. But they're not going to give up hope. And in this chapter, you see it says, in those days she died. Well, in what days? Well, this chapter is really, Acts 9 is a chapter of miracles. In the beginning of this book, in the beginning of this chapter, Paul, or Saul of Tarsus, is saved. Something probably anyone would have considered as an impossibility. If anybody couldn't get saved, it was Saul of Tarsus. he makes a living by killing Christians. But yet in this chapter, Paul gets saved, Saul gets saved. Then a few verses earlier, you see Peter heals a paralyzed man named Aeneas in the nearby town of Lydda. The Lord's working these great miracles. The town of Lydda is only about 10 miles away from Joppa. And so the saints, no doubt, hear of Peter healing people. And so they send two men to Peter and say, "Hey, come over here. We need help with something. There's a person who needs your help." Now, they were relying on Peter in the fact that Peter had this ability from God. The Lord had given him the ability to heal people. But they weren't trusting in Peter. Peter was not a faith healer, like we like to refer to today. He was not a person who made a living off other people. He didn't say, "Hey, if you have enough faith, if you give me enough money, then I'll do something for you. And occasionally someone might be healed." No, Peter was near penniless. He didn't make a living from this. These people he healed could not pay him anything. I mean, they were widows and orphans. This man was paralyzed. He had nothing. He was not making a livelihood from this. He did this because that's what God called him to do and because he cared about these people. And because in healing people, he had this chance to spread the gospel and share the gospel. And we see that that was true. We'll see that later. And I don't know about you, but it's encouraging to see Peter's name again. It really is. You remember, we just finished that study in John, and, well, he's left in the book. We're left kind of hanging. He's trying to affirm his love for the Lord. The Lord asks him, "Peter, do you love me?" 3 times. And Peter tries to affirm to him that he does, but we're just left kind of hanging. He's just gone. And then in the book of Acts, he appears several times, and here he is again. He's been given a second chance, and he's still faithful. He's not giving up. He's not denying the Lord again. In fact, he's out in the open healing people and preaching to people. And Peter's found his calling, and he wasn't going to give up on the Lord again. And so Peter, it's encouraging to see his name again here in Acts chapter 9. And so they're sending to him. They're calling him. And so it's just about a 3-hour walk away. And so these two men come and tell Peter they need help. Someone needs your help. And so Peter comes back with the people to the city of Joppa. And when he arrives, he comes to the house immediately, and they bring him in. And it was the Middle Eastern custom for there to be hired mourners. You probably know that. But there were these widows, and then there were these mourners in the room, and there was Tabitha's body there. And you see really the people's faith in here. You see, in these times, when a person died, their body was buried this very same day, if not immediately. You see that with Jesus on the cross. It's not just that, well, his body was so disfigured that they wanted to bury it immediately. No, that was custom because they didn't have dead bodies up for a long time. They didn't want a dead body. And so they were going to bury that person on the same day. But they didn't. Instead, they wash Dorcas' body, not to bury her, but they leave her in an upper chamber. And so they're just showing their faith. They didn't give up on the Lord. They didn't say, "Well, she's dead. There's no chance for her." No, they had faith in the Lord still, and they gave God a chance to work. They didn't put Dorcas in a tomb. They didn't bury her. They gave God a chance to work. And God was going to work in light of their faith. And so Peter arrives, and it's very interesting. He does something very similar to Jesus in the book of Mark chapter 5, where Jesus healed, raised from the dead, Jairus' daughter. Now, this is an emotional scene. You have to imagine this. There are all these widows, this woman who's meant so much to them. They're mourning and weeping. There's these mourners. It's a terrible, sad scene. But yet, Peter doesn't get caught up in this. And he's been in the same situation several times with Jesus. And so he puts everybody out, just like Jesus did with Jairus' daughter. He puts everybody out. And so it's just him and the Lord and Dorcas. But yet he doesn't focus on Dorcas. He doesn't look at her. He turns away and begins to pray. And he begins to pray to the Lord. And once again, we see that these people and Peter were not relying on him. There's no record up to this point of any apostle raising someone from the dead. No one had ever been raised from the dead by an apostle. And so Peter, he has to trust the Lord. He has to have faith. The Lord said, when he gave them the commission, that I give you power to cast out devils and to raise people from the dead. But as far as we know, Peter had never raised anyone from the dead to this point. And so he has to trust the Lord. These people are relying on him, but he can't trust himself. He's got to trust in the Lord. And once again, we see he's not a faith healer. He's just a servant of the Lord doing what God has called him to do. His calling wasn't to heal people. His calling was to preach the gospel. But in this healing, he was going to get an opportunity to preach the gospel. And so he prays. He turns away from her body and prays. And then he turns back toward her and says, Dorcas, do you have the faith to be healed? No. Why? Well, because she was dead. She couldn't have any faith. She couldn't have a belief that God could do anything because she was dead. Peter just simply says, Dorcas or Tabitha, arise. And she opens her eyes immediately, not days after, not minutes after, immediately. The Lord revives her and gives her new life. And once again, you see that this is the Lord. This is not Peter's ability. Peter knows it's not his ability. He doesn't have a church built to honor himself after this. No, it's all the Lord. And Peter just points to the Lord. He doesn't point to himself. Now, in this culture, they would be ceremoniously unclean if they entered a room with a dead body. But Peter, he not only enters the room, he takes her by the hand, just as Jesus did for Jairus' daughter, lifts her up and takes her down the stairs to the widows. And you can just imagine the joy. I mean, this is a total flip of the script. These people are excited. They're crowding around Dorcas, hugging her. They're so excited. These women had received so much from her. When Peter arrives, they're holding up clothes and saying, see, this is what Dorcas made for me. See, she did this for me. Not to show off her craftsmanship, but just because she cared about us so much. She loved us. She really did. And so now these widows get this woman back, this friend who's been such a kind help to them. And the thrill is just unbelievable. And you have to imagine Peter's probably just as excited as they were. He's thrilled that the Lord has done something so miraculous. He's never raised anybody from the dead, but the Lord said he would give him that power, and he did. But it's important to note once again that Peter, he wasn't a faith healer. He wasn't relying on himself to do this. And I know I've said that a lot, but it's true. There's so many today who are confused by this. They seek out someone if they can just pay enough money or work up enough faith, but that's never enough. Jesus is the only one can heal, but he can, and he can work miracles. And he did for this woman, Dorcas. And it's just as simple for us today, really. Peter said, Dorcas, arise. Just arise and go to Jesus. He's the only one who can do anything. Don't arise and go somewhere else. Nobody else can do anything. Arise, fall on your knees and go to Jesus. Don't worry about working up the faith. If you have trust in Jesus, if you trust in him, he'll give you the faith to see what he can do accomplished. And that's what Peter did. And you have today these people who say, well, I've seen in a vision that God's given me this ability, this power. There's several things that prove they aren't. For one, the apostles, when the Lord gave them this ability, they were successful every single time. They didn't try once and fail, and then, oh, they tried on this person. Oh, they were healed. No, they were successful every single time because it was God's power. If you want to, you can turn with me, but I'm going to turn to Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1, and I'm going to read verses 8 through 12. It says, but though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel, any other truth unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Paul said, even if an angel comes to you and says, I've received this from God, and teaches or lives or acts in contradiction to God's word, let him be accursed. Don't listen to him. Even if an angel tells you this, and it's in contrary and contradiction to God's word. Don't listen to it. Throw it away like old garbage. Get rid of it. And so people like these faith healers who want to say, well, God's given me this ability. No, he gave it to the apostles, those who had seen Jesus after his resurrection. And any person, even if they're an angel, even if they're a preacher who's highly respected, if they preach something in contradiction to the truth of the gospel, don't listen to them. Immediately tone them out, turn them off, because they are hypocrites, they are Pharisees, and really they are heretics. They are preaching something in contradiction to God's word. If they're claiming the glory, then they're not a true servant of Jesus Christ. Peter, sure, he received honor for this as the vessel, but God received the glory. This miracle was not about him. This is not where Peter built a church for himself or launched his healing ministry. Peter just points to the Lord, and we see that many people were saved. So that back in Acts chapter 9, when he healed Aeneas, when he healed him, many people were saved. Let me pull up that verse. It says in verse 35, referencing the miracle of Aeneas healing, it says, "And all that dwelt at Lydda and Saron saw him and turned to the Lord." This miracle is for the glory of God and to bring others to Jesus, not to bring others behind Peter. And then it says in verse 42 about Dorcas healing, "And it was known throughout all Joppa, and many believed in the Lord." These miracles aren't to glorify Peter. They're not to make him money, to buy him a $10,000 suit. No, this is ultimate purpose. The ultimate purpose of these miracles is to just draw people to Jesus Christ. What our true goal and mission should be, to glorify God. And so that's what Peter's doing here. He's just pointing to the Lord, and he's able to lead people to Christ. And then Dorcas, with her healing, sometimes it takes the death of one person to stir other people into action. And as sad as that is, you think of the Aka Indians and Nate Saint and Jim Elliott and how they gave their lives for the Lord and how many people considered what they did a waste. Those four people, those four men, young men, had all their lives before them, but yet they gave their lives for the Lord. And because of that, thousands of people turned to the Lord to become missionaries, to serve the Lord wherever he would have them. And so sometimes it takes a person like that. Sometimes it takes someone being willing to make a sacrifice we think is almost impossible. But sometimes it will just bring others to Jesus. Dorcas wouldn't have chosen this to bring other people to Jesus, most likely. Now, Peter, he wouldn't have chosen probably to have to raise these people, to raise a paralyzed man. He wouldn't have wished this man paralyzed. This man wouldn't have wished to be paralyzed. But through it, God received the glory and many people were saved. And so sometimes we may never see the ultimate plan God has, but yet God has a plan for each one of us. God has a plan. And even though we may go through some incredibly hard trials, some things we may never understand, the Lord has an ultimate purpose. And he is working to grow us for the next thing that we're going to go through. You see, with Peter, he had denied the Lord. He had gone through all this training, 3 years of training. And you think, oh, he is ready to go on. But then he denies the Lord. But yet, then he goes to Pentecost. The Lord fills him with the Holy Spirit. He's able to preach. He goes, then he's empowered by this. Then he goes through persecution. The Sanhedrin's beating him and throwing him in jail. The Lord releases him. He goes out again. He's preaching again. Now he's healing people. Now raising him from the dead. Through all these things Peter was going through, the Lord was preparing him for the next thing, for the next battle. Eventually, at the end of his life, as an old man, he would give his life for the Lord. As a martyr, he would give everything for Jesus. You see, it doesn't matter if you've failed. It doesn't matter if you've let the Lord down in your eyes or in his. The Lord still has a plan. And when you go through those hard things, those things you wish I never went through, you may look back and say, you know, if I hadn't gone through that, I wouldn't have been prepared for the next thing. If I hadn't gone through that, I might have failed at this step. The Lord's preparing us all the way around. He was preparing Peter. He was preparing Dorcas. And now Peter, Dorcas, these other widows, can share this testimony they've received. They can share the salvation. They have a wide open door to share what Jesus has done. And that's what the Lord's doing for us. He really is. He's preparing us each and every day to walk in His will, if we're willing, if we're willing to step out. Dorcas died, but because she died, many came to Jesus. Peter, because he was nearby in God's will, he was able to come near and heal her. And the Lord is really stretching Peter. You see here at the end of Acts 9 that he tarries many days in Joppa with one Simon, a tanner. This is a person who tans hides of animals and sells them. This was a job that was disrespected by the Jews because it was someone who was in constant contact with dead animals. Peter would never have chosen to be in this place. But yet the Lord is going to stretch him here once more. So in the next chapter, he's called to by a centurion and a Roman at that. A Roman centurion. So where he's willing to go, and he leads this whole house to the Lord, this whole family, this Roman family. So all along, the Lord is stretching Peter. He's preparing him for the very next thing. But all of this wouldn't have happened if Dorcas hadn't died, if she hadn't been so caring, and if Peter hadn't been willing to obey. It's been said that you won't be remembered once you die for something that you weren't. You won't be remembered for doing something you never did. Dorcas, she was remembered as someone who was kind, someone who had a loving heart, because she was kind and she had a loving heart. And so when she died, people cared about her and they reached out to Peter. If we want to be known as a soul winner, as someone who brings many to Jesus, as one who loves other people, then we have to be that right now. We have to be soul winners right now. We have to be loving right now. We have to be caring. We won't be remembered by something we never did. And so Dorcas, she leaves a legacy. Each day, we're building a legacy. We're building a legacy of what people will remember us by. And every day when we go out into the world, people are forming an opinion of who we are and who our God is. And so make sure you're being faithful in the little things. Make sure that legacy you're building for the Lord, ultimately, is pointing others to Jesus. Make sure you're walking in God's will, being faithful in the little things, going through those trials that we may not like, but staying faithful. Make sure you're living in such a way that you want to be remembered. And make sure you're being faithful in the little things. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for this example of a woman who was, Lord, just a plotter, just someone who did the next right thing, who was faithful doing what she could. Lord, she sewed clothes for other people. It was a kind person. Something we probably wouldn't look at as someone we probably wouldn't look at as a hero, but yet, Lord, she found space in Scripture as a faithful woman. Lord, I pray that you would help us to be faithful, to do those things you've given us, whether small or great, and just continue doing them, Lord, till you return. Lord, help us with the trials we go through and the things that don't seem to be so little. I pray that you would help us. Give us the grace, give us the strength to go through them, and help us to continue on for you. I pray now that you would bless the service to follow and receive all the honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.